Mr. Chair, the citation, I believe, is 314.835, relating to divulging particulars of returns and reports prohibited. And it does prevent the Department of Revenue or any officer or employee of the department to divulge or make known in any manner the amount of income, expense, deduction, exclusion, or credit, or any particulars set forth or disclosed in any report or return.
So, for the record, if you could note, colleagues, that 314.835 is the citation on divulging the particulars of returns, and that is the that is within the sections 305 and 314 relating to confidentiality. So, by reference, what we're doing is reestablishing the confidentiality provisions.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions on the issues of confidentiality? Colleagues, we're in work session. We need to move this bill forward.
No amendments, right?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I would move Senate Bill 422 to the floor with a due pass.
Colleagues, Senator Beyer's moved Senate Bill 422 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions on the motion? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, then so ordered. We need a carrier for this bill. Do we have a volunteer who wants to bring this forward? If not, the chair will carry. A volunteer? The chair carries. Do we have any further business for the committee?
I believe so.
I don't believe we do. We'll ask Mr. Warner to remind the committee members what we have scheduled for the week ahead. And then, in keeping with the tradition of the model of efficiency that we've established for the committee,
the bill referral committee.
The bill referral committee. Mr. Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have scheduled your last meeting devoted to orientation tomorrow. And Dick's going to go through with you the timber tax system. And as we've said on a number of occasions, we did have major timber tax reform last session. There's still some pieces left, decisions to be made, so this will give you the context to do that. The other thing that we have been working on, and we'll have done ready for you this afternoon, is a look at the federal legislation and what that means in terms of individual school districts. And we will be distributing that to everyone this afternoon, and that may be another topic to discuss tomorrow in the context of the timber tax issue, because as you know, federal legislation proposes to significantly increase the amount of dollars going to local governments and to some extent to school districts as well.
In the title of that bill is Distressed Communities.
Send the money other than Portland. I think is the title of the film.
Anyway, at the request of members of the committee, that formula will be arrayed so that we can see how those dollars look inside the school funding formula and outside the school funding formula. And I believe that will be arrayed by district. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you'll be able to look at that comparison directly. Senator Corcoran, I know that you were very interested in that information. Yes, you're recognized.
Well, I just, I was going to ask, I mean, I had asked Steve for a look, what the bill that I'm putting in basically sets a limit of enrollment and then looks at small rural schools and eligible counties below that list of enrollment. Is the material we're going to see tomorrow, is that going to be making calculations as if the entire amount and or the $29 million are taken out? Is it going to do comparisons of what it would be if it was all left in, what it would be if the entire amount's taken out, what it would be if the 29 taken out?
Senator, it's going to look at current law, which we're distributing through the formula, and then look at, when you say entire amount, it is the 29, actually I think closer to 30 million, but that, remember, is an increment. It's above what we did anticipate would be received from federal forest receipts under the old safety net provisions under the old federal law. So it is an increment above that amount, but that would be distributing that entire increment directly to the counties where it's initially received.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think Representative Morgan has a bill in that takes the entire amount outside the school formula. Are we going to have that analysis as well?
I think what we did array, we asked for the array to include just a very simple, what happens under existing law and what happens if these dollars go outside the formula on the same basis of timber tax receipts. In other words, if you've got a federal forest and you've been receiving funds, how would we distribute these dollars outside the formula?
Okay.
Senator Beyer?
Well, I think there are three permutations of that are significant, though, because these are replacement dollars for what we used to get, plus some enhancements. So you kind of need to be able to look at what happens if they're all inside, which it sounds like we have, and what happens if just the additional increment is outside. But trying to think that one through, does that give you the third permutation if some of them stay inside, if they're all taken outside?
Actually, Senator, in all due respect, I think there's probably 90 different permutations of how this could look. So
Senator Corkman has been educating me on that.
Well, Chair,
as he tries to figure out what size each of his school districts are.
Yeah.
Well, we've heard that there could be a formula coming forth from the Oregon School Boards Association or a Teachers Association, various different entities out here that would be affected directly. I'm certain that the...
But there are three base ones there.
Right.
You've got some money that we, for lack of a better term, would call the base funding. That would be, what did we get before? What's the increment? And then what happens if you take it all outside? Which, right, I know there's some sentiment to do that.
Right. And actually, again...
Mainly coming from our five federal officers, but...
But I would point out that there is at least one formula or an approach that's been vetted, and that's to look at the 350 smallest school districts in the state and what a distribution might look across that relatively wider group. So.
Yeah, I would just comment, we'll get into this tomorrow, that I've become increasingly interested in that, as I noticed in the two districts that I represent, which are larger districts, and in both cases, they're both looking at closing schools. And I would submit to you that the schools that they're looking at closing will have the same effect on communities like Coburg, Walterville, that the closure of some of the other smaller schools will have. And it's the issue is really one of small schools, and it's primarily small elementary schools.
Well, I guess I'll repeat the commentary that I made when one of our good colleagues from the high-tech center of the state, the economic engine of the state of Oregon, got quite adamant about the distribution formula. Just, you're going to see a lot of suggestions.
Yeah.
Let's just keep our powder dry and take a step-by-step approach and look at all the information we can and hear all the suggestions that are out there, and then look at the revenue impacts for these communities and make some decisions. Let's do it in a deliberative way. Or if we could keep it to four proposals, that would be good. Colleagues, anyway, I just want to point out that the staff's worked very hard on this issue, and that they're being responsive to our request for more information. Appreciate it very much. Should be out by this afternoon.
Afternoon, we'll make sure everybody gets a copy of it.
Okay.
You know, the thing that's been hardest to sort of pinpoint in this is this whole notion that's pervasive in the federal bill, which is the notion of eligible counties. And you know, trying to figure, I mean, apparently that applies to 33 out of 36, including Multnomah, and I don't know if it's proportioned out. Maybe someone can explain that when we look at the runs, but, you know, is it proportioned out in relation to the amount of public land that's in the particular county or not? But that's, the issue that I was trying to get at. I mean, someone told me, for instance, that there'll be Eastern Oregon objection to doing an eligible counties, because you'll have winners and losers. You know, some will get, some won't. And the argument being, of course, if they were agriculturally based, it really had nothing to do with federal forest receipts. But now agriculture is having their troubles too, and so.
Senator Corcoran, there is no Paul Bunyan mythology in Sherman and Gillum County. you know, the tallest thing they have there is wheat, and so, yeah, there are winners and losers.
That might be a place for me to look at living.
Well, Senator Corcoran, everybody...
It's so confusing.
Everybody's tall in the saddle.
I see. I see. So just get a tall horse, Mr. Chair, is what you're saying.
The other issue, of course, is that some of the forested counties are forested with state forests. And
right.
So when you talk about eligible That's counties, right. you're talking about federal forest lands that paid money in the federal forest receipts formula or payments in lieu of taxes. So what you're going to find is grazing, payments in lieu of taxes or PILT, and federal forest receipts. Not all counties get them.
Right.
Multnomah, for instance, benefits in a proportional way, not to the size of the public land ownership, but to the amount of timber harvested on the Mount Hood
mm-hmm.
National Forest. So, more later, and it gets more complicated. Thank you, colleagues. We are in adjournment until tomorrow at 8:30.